time. Some of you did, but it was just even exhausting to look at it. But as I thought about 1968, and the subtitle really was true, it was the year that the world changed. I wonder if that's what they'll say about 2015 or 2016 that we're living in today. Will we say that this is the year that changed the world? You'd have to be living under a rock that is under another rock not to understand that in 2016 we're in the midst of a change. We're in the midst of a moral revolution. And this revolution is a sexual revolution, which we would have to say is a continuation, perhaps not even a culmination, but a continuation of what was started in the year that changed the world, 1968. This is the outflow. This is the continued growth of that sexual revolution. And this revolution that we're experiencing is a revolution in morality, sexuality, gender, and gender identity. Author Tim Challies writes of our day, he says, the times are changing. Sexual morality is undergoing nothing less than a revolution, as traditional morality gives way to something radically different. He says, the former morality, based on the Christian scriptures, is being shoved aside by a new one that not only departs from the Bible, but outright rejects it. Meanwhile, Christians who abide by those traditional sexual morals are increasingly seen as outcasts, backward people, dangerously hung upon an ancient oppressive principle. And he says, it is all very disconcerting. Yes, it is. It is very disconcerting. Well, one of the ugly heads of the moral revolution that I want to bring to our attention tonight is related to gender, and it's what's known as transgender. Our society is undergoing a radical transition, if you will, in its understanding of gender. The deviant agenda of the moral revolution is a complete reversal of God's roles for genders and his design, the beautiful design that he has done of male and female. And it's resulting in a completely weird destruction of God's plans and his intentions for male and female. So tonight what I want to do is I want to lay out the issue, show some examples from culture, that some that you're probably familiar with, but also then finally give a number of prayer requests. And I've asked some men to pray for these issues. Well, transgender, if you didn't realize it, is the letter T of the acronym LGBT, and it's seen as the next phase of the homosexual rights revolution. According to Wikipedia, transgender people are people who have a gender identity, hold on to that, a gender identity or a gender expression that differs from their assigned gender. That is to say, they were born male or female, but they're saying, well, I want to act like the opposite. Did you have a question?
What does LGBT stand for?
Yes, thanks, good question. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, and then T would be transgender. There's even a Q, and I've not gotten that far yet. And there's an I too, sorry. LGBTQI is actually what we hear about. So yeah, thanks for asking that and clearing that up. So transgender is someone who says they have a different gender identity or different gender expression than the gender that we know was determined by God even from the womb. So the moral revolutionaries of our day are actually defining gender as a spectrum, not binary even. I mean, they're even going that far. It's a spectrum that's not connected with your biological sex. It's now self-determined, not determined by the biological realities of the cells in your body, but rather what's going on in your thinking. Author Denny Burke said, gender is a choose-your-own-adventure story in our day, and the parent's job is to get out of the way and let it happen. That is to say, if a little girl perceives herself to be a boy, then she is one, even if her biology says otherwise. If that's what you think, then I just need to back up and let it happen. The revolutionaries, as we can call them, believe that we're herded unnecessarily by our gender, by the stereotypes associated with how a woman or a man should act, and they describe our culture, get this, as wearing a gender straitjacket. A gender straitjacket. And these cultural concepts are just, they're false and they need to be thrown off. And so what the revolutionaries intend to do is break free from this gender straitjacket And they are doing so by seeping into the hearts and into the minds and transforming the thinking and understanding of Americans. And as you can well attest, they are gaining ground and gaining cultural ground. Well, this moral revolution is brought to you in part by a couple of things, but this moral revolution is brought to you in part by the entertainment industry. Movies and TV and social media is moving this along. I want to give you a few examples of some media. There's an online TV show pushing the transgender movement that's put out by Amazon. It's called Transparent. And it's the story of a family who discovers that the person they knew as their father wants to be called mom as he comes out as transgender. Now, the show has won several Emmy Awards because, of course, it did in our world. But in spite of the Emmy Awards, and it's been going for 4 seasons now, in spite of those things, the director who cast all these things in the show has regrets. Her regret is that she cast a non-transgender man to play the lead role of a transgender woman. How foolish of her. She writes, Al Mohler comments about this director who made a mistake because according to now, the new orthodoxy of the transgender movement, you can't cast an actor who isn't transgender to play a transgender person on television. It is evidently now an insult to transgender persons and their authenticity to have someone play a transgender person who isn't. But, Al Mohler adds, the transgender movement can't keep its ideology straight here. So the director's saying, oh man, I totally messed up. There's another TV show, ABC's TV show Modern Family is another example of it. The show features three quote-unquote modern American families. You have a nuclear family, a blended family through a divorce, and then a same-sex couple. And the same-sex couple in this modern family have adopted and are raising a little girl. Yikes. In a recently aired episode, they featured a transgender actor on this show. Now, unlike the previous show, they weren't able to do that. This show did. But what's terrifying, actually, about this is this show landed a transgender actor who is a preteen child, an 8-year-old who claims to be transgender. This is a girl born biologically female, now presented to the public as a transgender male. And so the show was organized around this idea, and the central issue was about the acceptance and the tolerance of transgender persons. Even this is happening even in the marketplace, not only in the media, but just last week, and I stumbled upon this one, just last week, the beauty brand CoverGirl, maybe you heard about this, named its first ever male CoverGirl. Male CoverGirl, yes. A social media star by the name of James Charles is a teenage. He's a teenager who wears makeup and has some social media presence. One news site stated this: according to a press release from the brand, all CoverGirls are quote role models and boundary breakers, fearlessly expressing themselves, standing up for what they believe, and redefining what it means to be beautiful. And who better to embody that ethos than Instagram sensation James Charles? After launching his beauty account a year ago, the teen has since quickly attracted hundreds of thousands of followers, over 400,000 to be exact, thanks to his unique transformative approach to makeup artistry. So the revolution is rolling through television. It's also rolling through even in the marketplace. Because this is about selling makeup for CoverGirl. This is not some bold new idea for a brave new world. It's about the bottom line. And if they can get on the train and have a new market for their existing product, they're going to do that. And so they're pushing the gender revolution just as well. Well, what does scientific research have to say? What has anyone done any studies on this? Well, I've quoted Al Mohler, and he has a podcast that Andy and I have mentioned before. It's called The Briefing. He takes news and events and discusses them from a Christian worldview. And he mentioned this new report is one of the most important research events in recent history. The report is found in a recently released issue of a medical journal called The New Atlantis, a journal of technology and society. In the fall 2016 issue, there was a special report released on sexuality and gender. The subtitle was Findings from the Biological, Psychological, and Social Sciences. Now, this report was done by two doctors, Lawrence Mayer and Paul McHugh. Moeller notes that this research goes right at what they consider to be the scientific basis behind the claims of the modern sexual and gender revolutionaries. So they're going behind the scientific basis behind the claims for this revolution. The point of this research, however, and of the two authors, is not so much to make a moral point, but a scientific point. And in order to do so, they looked at the major scientific claims of those who had presented the research on LGBT issues, and in particular of gender and sexuality. So these doctors went for it. What's the scientific basis? Let's look at these scientific claims that have been made that are promoted by the LGBT movement. So in the report, they state this: the hypothesis that gender identity is an innate fixed property of human beings that is independent of biological sex. Did you catch that? So the hypothesis, the belief in our day that gender identity as an innate fixed property that's independent from how you were born, that a person might be a man trapped in a woman's body or a woman trapped in a man's body, is, they say, is not supported by scientific evidence. Al Moeller continues on the story, and he says, the notion is, of course, supported by a vast social movement, by a revolution in morality and of ethics, and is supported and aided by an entire cultural revolution that includes media, politics, and you name it, especially add to the mix higher education. So they've done this report, they've done this study, they've taken the claims for the scientific basis for this distinction between gender identity and physiology, and saying there's no scientific evidence for what the LGBT community is putting forth as scientific claims. There's no evidence for it. Have you ever wondered how many in the country claim to be transgender? Well, in this report, there's a recent estimate that is 0.6% of U.S. adults identify as a gender that does not correspond to their biological sex. So that means 0.6% of the American population of adults. But we have an outsized emphasis on shows that we just mentioned. That it's a big deal. So in terms of the larger culture, there's an outsized emphasis here. Well, in this report, the doctors go on to ask the most controversial question of all. They ask this: does a biological girl become a gender boy by believing or at least stating she is a little boy? Moeller writes this: that's the question, because we are now told we must believe that all it takes, even for a child to be considered transgender, is for that child to believe or merely state that the child is of a gender identity different from the biological sex determined or understood at birth. So, as you might expect, this report was released, and there was no small outcry. There was a great outcry, and these doctors have found themselves at the center of controversy, because they're being criticized by the homosexual rights advocates, who intend to shut down the conversation, suggesting, of course, that the report isn't scientifically credible at all. So the Human Rights Campaign, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but the Human Rights Campaign, which is a major LGBT organization, be clued into those things, it's a major LGBT organization, is attacking Johns Hopkins University. Why that university? Because Mayer and McHugh are identified with that university and that famous medical center. Perhaps you've heard of it before. Again, Albert Moeller reports this. He says, if Hopkins leadership ignores their community's call to correct the record, number one, clarifying that McHugh and Mayer's opinions don't represent it, and number two, that its healthcare services provided reflect the scientific consensus of the LGBT health and well-being, then, get this, something called its Healthcare Equality Index healthcare equality index score will be reduced substantially. So let me explain. The LGBT community is attacking Johns Hopkins University and hospital because some doctors that are associated with that hospital are proclaiming things that really they don't like. So what they're doing is threatening and coercing Johns Hopkins to disavow and reject these two doctors' discoveries. And if they don't, then this healthcare equality index score is going to be lowered substantially. You better watch out. That's a threat. And we should recognize this. They're saying fall in line. They're saying you better toe the line of this agenda, because it is an agenda. Fall in line with this agenda that we're promoting here, this revolution that we're doing. They're pressuring them to conform. But get this. This is not a church. This is not even a Christian organization. This is a medical school and a health care center or provider. And so now Johns Hopkins University Medical Center is being directly threatened with having its equality index lowered if it doesn't take disciplinary actions against these two professors. Well, Al Mohler summarizes this, and he says, the open, bare-knuckled, undisguised attempt at coercion here, when it comes in the case of a medical school, tells us a great deal about just how far this revolution has come and just how fast it is advancing. He says, when you have an LGBT organization demanding that a medical school faculty denounces colleagues, he says, well, we've reached the point when there is an absolute effort to shut down all conversation and let nothing but the message of the revolution flow on through. Wow. This is 2016, folks. Now, while we recognize that this scientific research is helpful, it's not our standard. Scripture is our standard. And this scientific research only confirmed what Scripture already teaches, that God created them male and female, distinct and fixed genders. But this is the world we're living in. This is the future that our children will live in. And so we have a world that rejects the Bible. And if the world rejects the Bible, it will also reject morality, which in turn, if it rejects morality, will reject God's plan for marriage. And if it rejects God's plan for marriage, the way that it keeps on moving through is rejecting God's design for gender, which we see here. Now, it sounds like, hey, are we at the end of this thing? I mean, is the train going to stop here? And I've heard from Al Mohler and others, they say, we don't know if this is necessarily the end, but we've certainly gone quite far in these things. But we understand from Scripture that this cultural revolution, this moral revolution as it's moving, is absolutely wrong. God has created the male and female, and he has specific roles and jobs for each. I'm really thankful for the Council of Biblical Manhood and Womanhood. When describing the roles of a husband and a wife, they describe it this way. A husband's role is that of loving, humble headship. Loving, humble headship. And the role of a wife is joyful, intelligent submission. Now that's a husband and a wife. But it's also likewise for male and female. Males are to lead and to serve and to provide and to protect. And females, likewise, are to help and have a primary responsibility in the home and with child rearing. And this is why we can be thankful, Josh, even as you pointed out to us, that we have God's word to stand upon. Because this revolution is going to keep going, and it's going to keep changing. It was one thing in 1968, it's one thing in 2016. Who knows where else it will be if the Lord should tarry in 2026. But if you were standing firm on the word in 1968, you're at the same place in 2016, and you'll be in the same place in 2026 if the Lord doesn't return and rescue us all first. So I wanted to present the issue to you and give you some examples. Perhaps you've heard of those, and you probably got more examples of things that you've seen. But this is a huge, huge issue in our day, and we have some matters that we need to pray for. And so I've come up with six prayer requests that you'll see on the screen behind me. that I think we need to take before the Lord. The first prayer request is this. We need to pray for parents, first of all, to protect their children from such confusing influences. This is crazy. This is totally confusing. And those young children and teenagers are moving and figuring out things, and their bodies are changing. But then you have these TV shows and the social media guy or whatever's going on, and it's just crazy stuff. Are parents protecting their children from these confusing influences? We need to pray that parents will be on guard. They'll protect their children. Secondly, we need to pray for young people. Pray for young people who are confused about their gender to embrace their God-given gender. Every gender is God-given. It is established from the womb. It's not even determined in the hospital room. It's established in the womb. That's why we always ask, well, what are you going to have? Well, we're going to wait. I don't know. We'll find out. Or it's going to be a girl. It's established in the womb. And so pray for young people who are going through these things and who are confused, who don't know, don't understand, to embrace their God-given gender and to do so for His glory. I want them to embrace their God-given gender. That will be, if God allows that, that will be an aspect of God's common grace. But we want to go more than that, to do so for His glory, embrace their God-given gender for His glory, and we pray for God's saving grace. Number three, thinking of parents again, pray for parents to take the lead in two things, instructing and modeling. Instructing and modeling for their children, God's design for them as male or female. Pray for parents. Pray for parents of this church to take the lead, not to take a back seat, but to tell and instruct their children, but also model for their children God's design. The parents would say one thing, you are a boy and God made you a boy and someday you'll be a man and I'm going to help you get there. Or you're a girl, God made you a girl and someday you're going to be a woman and we're going to help you get there. Instructing, but also modeling. That is to say that the father in the home will model that loving, humble headship, that protection, that provision, that sacrificial leadership. And the wife will model humility and submission and just a worker like a Proverbs 31 woman. So parents need to be instructing, but also need to be modeling these things. Author Denny Burke called this gender discipling. It's a good way to put it. Same idea, but parents need to gender disciple and say, this is what men do. God made you a boy, and this is you're going to be a man, and this is what we do. So pray for parents of this church to do that. Number four, pray for our public schools. Are you concerned for our schools? I'm very concerned for our schools. Pray for our schools that children would not be indoctrinated and influenced by the moral revolutionaries in regards to gender. Please pray for this. I had an opportunity to pray at See You at the Pole. An event where they meet before school at every school in America and meet at the flagpole and pray for the school. And as I was there praying, I was so compelled to pray for this issue that God would not let that school right there to have influence on the children in regards to these things, that this moral revolution or this wicked agenda being put forth in these schools, that it wouldn't have sway with the children who were there. They're so impressionable. So pray for the public schools. Number five, pray for Christians to be faithful. Pray for Christians to be faithful to the teachings of Scripture. And also with that, be compassionate to reach out to those who are lost in this gender-confused age. You need to be faithful. You need to be faithful to what God's word says, what God's word teaches, what God's word commands and demands of each role. And not just online, that's the easy place. Not just online, but be faithful to teach with friends, coworkers, family, or whatever, but also compassionate to reach out to those who are lost in this gender-confused age. I heard of somebody who has a friend in high school who, I think it's a girl, wants to become a man. This is at a local high school. How are you going to deal with that? We need to pray that we and other Christians will be faithful, but also compassionate, to help them see through these things and help them understand God's good plan for gender. And number six, Pray for the church. Pray for the church as a whole. The Christian church, to stand firm on Scripture. And I got this from Denny Burke, and to bear witness to the glory of gender differences that God has made. Because it's glorious. It's a beautiful thing. God made each gender, both genders, I should say, to be good and to be a beautiful thing. So pray for the church that they'd be faithful to teach truth. Right now, there's a pressure on the church to be embracing of homosexuality and conduct same-sex marriages in the church. We feel that pressure. I mean, not at this church technically, but we feel that pressure encroaching. Why wouldn't this be next? And who knows what will be after that. So pray for churches to stand firm on the teaching of Scripture and just be faithful to these things. So these are some of the burdens on my heart in regards to these things. Maybe you share that with me, or maybe you've got some other burdens. I encourage you, take these and yours and just pray for these things. So what we want to do now is also ask if you have any prayer requests. This is a current affairs and prayer night, and so we want to pray in regards to this issue. But we want to just see what's going on in your life, in your world, and just how can we pray for that. Joe Acosta is going to be writing down those prayer requests, so just love to hear from you. How can we lift you up before the Lord? Andy.
Maybe we could pray for, just pray for the leadership in this church as we come back from a weekend away. We've got a lot of things we've talked about and discussed, just for wisdom, mm-hmm. and particularly as finish out this year and move forward, the things that we would like to implement, that God would be gracious to open those doors or gracious to close those doors.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So like you said, pray for the leadership of the church. We had a great time at our Elder Deacon Advance making plans. We want to see those things come to fruition, or we want to be changed if there's a better idea. But pray for the leaders, the leadership of the church. And be thankful that your elders go on an elder and deacons as well, go on an Elder Deacon Advance. There are churches that don't do such a thing and are just doing what they've always done, which is stagnating, unfortunately. But we want to move ahead. We want to continue to improve and continue to please God and bring him greater and greater glory through these things. So, anything else? Andy?
Yeah, one more. I'm not going to hog this, but we've got probably around 20 people right now who are in the process of seeking membership in this church.
Yeah.
Pray that God would guide them and just move them to where they need to be and just step into that role. Own it so that ministry can grow and develop, because mm-hmm. we have more people that can serve and take responsibility and leadership in the church.
Yeah, great, yeah. Good. Chris?
Through the evangelism course, just mm-hmm. the Lord will bring up evangelists through that, mm-hmm. our church, and that that he'll just move us and, to go out and speak and save the lost.
Yeah, good. Let's pray for evangelism. Good. Yes, sir.
People need to pray about voting on that legalizing marijuana, because that's one of the things when the kids smoke that, it alters what they're thinking, and they can bring all this kind of stuff.
So that's going to, marijuana is going to be on the ballot? That's what you're saying? It is. Okay.
On the ballot, yeah. And I mean, it alters your thinking. You know, God is not the author of confusion, and that just adds to the confusion of these things.
Right.
Christian kids are experimenting with it.
Yeah.
They realize.
Yeah. Very good. You catch that, Joe? Yeah, good. I saw Catherine. Yes.
Prayer for the food pantry. Uh-huh. There's been many great conversations, and it seems like there's really something stirring up in there.
Good.
And just prayer for all of us to serve in it. Mm-hmm. And I think it kind of goes with what Chris just asked for prayer with Sunday school, and just being able to utilize all the tools that we're still learning. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, so pray for the food pantry ministry and the harvest there. Great. Anybody else? Catherine. Praise for the rain. Doesn't that sound great? Praise God. That's good. I didn't. Dan told me to quote Acts 14, which says God has given the rains in its season. That's good. Acts 14. You're going to have to find that. You put me on the spot, Dan. I'm coming back at you. Yeah, God has not left himself without a witness. He's given these things. So you can't say you don't know him. You ever been out in the rain? Anyway, next. Oops. Okay. Well, I've asked three men if they would to come and lead our time in these prayer requests. If they'd come up, John Medhurst, Mike Ernst, and Joe Acosta, if you'd come up, you can just stand up here, and one man will pray, and then the next guy will just come up, and you can sit down after.